So Biden just dropped out of the race.
Play ball. He sure
and
did.
This is not something we normally do, but we just happen to be recording a podcast. And so what I figured is that we would add our voices to the political conversation.
To the milieu?
And the reason I say that is because all said and done, our voices probably matter the most.
That was prime Jesse humor.
So here's what I'm going to say about this. And this is completely serious. And I mean this with my whole heart.
Okay. What do you
we're
got?
Screwed. We're What's all, your take? I mean, no matter what happens here, there's no way this goes well.
Imagine a reality where Trump actually got killed, assassinated, and Biden drops out.
For Leo purposes, everything we say in this episode is satire. Sorry, Sean, continue.
No, I'm just like, this is a weird time. In a span of a week,
it is a weird time.
We went from crazy. The Republican nominee almost dying.
Yeah.
Like, in all intents and purposes, like he should be dead. Like based on what we know. And then a week later, Biden's done. Like what?
Yeah.
This is unprecedented, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's unprecedented.
Yeah. Stop. Precedented. Stop. I know.
That was low hanging fruit. It's real. And Kamala announced she's running. While we were recording.
It's not surprising.
Best case scenario. What happens?
Best case. I don't even know. What's our metric for best?
I didn't set out any metric. I just asked a question. You just have to answer the question.
Best case scenario? Okay. I don't know if Kamala can beat Trump. So that's a fact.
So you're a flaming liberal. Sean is...
I'm just stating objectively, I don't think she can beat him.
Sean,
I'm Canadian, so I don't vote either way. So you can't box me in.
Sean is conservative, but with a heart. And I happen
That's
to...
That's not possible, is it?
I happen to occupy the hallowed middle ground where I am morally superior to all of you because I don't take any extreme positions.
That's hilarious. That's amazing.
So in your liberal, in your flaming liberal space, Anthony, best case scenario, what happens?
If I were an American, it's an interesting time. I don't know what the Democratic Party is going to do. The DNC is in the month. So yeah, I don't know what's like, they literally have like a month to figure out what the crap is happening. So
can you imagine you're just sitting in this meeting? Like, as I just found out, they were sitting there, trying to figure out like how to do some of the logistics of the DNC. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they find out from Twitter, Biden has dropped out. Yeah, can you just imagine that moment of just like
papers are thrown up? No,
the sheer like, oh gosh, now we have to deal with this.
The sheer chaos.
So, yeah, no. But best case scenario, what happens?
I don't know. They might try for Gavin Newsom, governor of California, maybe Kamala's. But all the Republicans hate Gavin, so there's no way he can win.
Here's the thing: can you imagine if they actually put Gavin Newsom up? California has gotten eviscerated over the last few years.
California
and I live
hates
here
Gavin.
Now, and it sucks. And so it's like, I don't think it's the governor's fault, everything, but it's like California is one of those places,
Jesse,
where you're just like,
why
is it all of this?
I singularly blame Gavin Newsom for Skid Row. That's
fair. You can do that. But my point is that like, it would be hilarious to take what has been considered the worst state in the United States and be like, let's put the governor of that state up for president.
The guy that, you know, where all the mass exodus of people going to Texas and Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
People down here are all flaming against Gavin. True. But although I feel like if you're ultra progressive, you would still vote for Gavin over Trump. You'd vote for anyone.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, true. It's kind of less of the person specifically and more of like, if you're just anti-Trump, you're anti-Trump. But can you imagine like some of the politicians we've had, they go from like the governor of North Dakota to the president of the United States. I'm like, that's
right.
I feel like you at least have to be the governor of a mid-level state. Like
you're saying North Dakota is a trash state.
They're not all.
No, I'm not saying it's trash. I'm just saying when you have 40 people in your state, like maybe you shouldn't be the
40 people in your state, and four of them are on Mount Rushmore,
and the other 39 are cows because there's a lot of cows in North Dakota.
No, I mean, and that's all joking, but like best case scenario, I feel like we get a actually good Democratic candidate and people can actually make a decision on this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the problem with Biden is that nobody could make a decision. Mm-hmm. Like nobody could, very few people could rightfully say, yes, I'm going to vote for that guy. Because it's like, it's kind of obvious that there's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. And then people can actually make a decision. It feels like that would be best case scenario for me. I don't know if Kamala can beat Trump, but I mean, my hope is just for two good candidates.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's definitely a gift in that sense, but I was talking with another friend earlier today and he was like, this should have happened like a year ago. Cause then it would have given actual time for there to be a legitimately good candidate. Cause it is a gift that like, oh wow, there could be a candidate who could be really compelling, but I don't know who that could be.
Sean, I'm going to excite your conservative heart. A bald eagle clutching the American flag in its talons lands on a candidate and, you know, thereby announcing that this is the chosen one. Who is that candidate?
Is it Hulk Hogan? Because I just love his speech when he was like, they tried to kill my hero.
RNC was a circus. It was a circus.
It felt like the Hunger Games. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it does feel weird. Like there was a pastor, I was watching a video of one of the pastors from Detroit that went up and basically it's this mixing of politics and religion that it just feels so weird to hear gross. A pastor say like God has called him to such a time as this, like Jesus, he used like the rhetoric, like Jesus spared Donald Trump's life because he called him to this space.
Ben Carson like quote Isaiah to,
I didn't listen to that part.
Ooh, I missed that.
No, there was a pastor that went up and, you know, talked about like this. And I've heard this from multiple people like that were talking, you know, saying like, oh, you know, Jesus saved Donald Trump. And that was why, like from this. And it's just weird. It makes me feel uncomfortable that that's the conversation going on.
It's weird theology. It's like Jesus saved Trump and not the guy behind him who died.
Sure. But even then it's just this, look, the point is this, the RNC, the both convention, it's always been a weird circus for both sides. It's always just a hype thing. It's all just hype. And I think what you just said, Anthony, is I don't think he can lose unless he does something really stupid.
Yeah.
And by stupid, because here's what everyone's going to say. Well, he does something stupid every other day. By stupid, yeah. I mean it has He's to
moved.
Be.
Isn't that wild? He has single-handedly moved the needle on what stupid is.
I know.
You almost respect it a little bit. You're like, dang, this guy.
Yeah.
He completely changed the definition.
No, but I mean so beyond. And again, people argue, oh, he's gone beyond. He's been convicted of how many felons?
Sean, I don't even know.
I understand that. I understand. But
I feel like he could shoot someone on live television.
No, I'm just...
He'd be fine.
At this point. As long as they're liberal enough.
Right. You know, in the movies, like where it's just like this villain and they just like somebody brings their food wrong and they just shoot him. Like you could just see that happen at one of Trump's rallies and people would be like,
yeah.
People be like, yeah, no, I guess expected that at this point. No,
I think what you said, Anthony, was right. That if they had done this a year or so ago, when it was still apparent that it wasn't right, it means that, and you know, we use the term conservative liberal. Like we've had so many conversations about politics. Like we all know how nuanced and messy it is. It's just a big soup of confusion.
A soup of confusion.
That's a good expression.
Felt accurate.
It just feels messy. Like you just have a soup that's trying to be minestrone and chicken gnocchi. You're like, no, I don't want both of these at the same time. It's like that was an Olive Garden reference, by the way.
I'm following.
Yeah, I'm not enough of a soup unlimited guy breadstick to have, salad. That felt too deep cut for me because I don't eat soup.
I have had those Olive Garden soup flavors, so I'm with you, Sean.
If you had said tomato, you would have had me, but
yeah. I think there isn't a lot of trust, and I'm not just saying that with some conservative bent. I think objectively the left and the liberal side also is like, why wasn't this better planned for. And now it's just, it doesn't feel like they have their act together. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, can you do anything in 4 months to build a persona that isn't, you know, Kamala, because she has at least a visible presence, right? But also mm-hmm. she's pretty divisive. And so the question is, can she pull out the charisma to, Jesse, you asked about the ideal. The problem is the ideal isn't what's actually practical for how the political system works for getting a president.
Oh yeah.
So I don't care
about that. What I want to know is if The Rock ran for president,
The Rock
as the Republican nominee.
Oh,
well, he's conservative. Yeah. I mean,
and then at least in the some end spaces, in the end, he just like, if we go to war with another country, that he just like suplexes them over his knee.
Kim Jong-un. Like,
yeah. Like that's what happens.
Suplexes
like,
that's Kim Jong-un.
We're talking
mental images.
I also don't know what suplex is. I'm using it. That's about as far into wrestling as I get. So just, I'm asking physical. About, I don't care about your actual nuanced perspective on the realities of our political climate right now. What I'm asking about is, what I'm asking about is if Brad Pitt ran for president as the Democratic nominee, that's what I'm asking about, Sean.
There's no way.
No, it's George Clooney. George is the one that called for Biden to step down, so it's going
to
be...
Clooney might be able to clinch it. He's
Danny,
got the look.
Danny Ocean is going to...
They could run on that this, platform. I feel like you need a spectacle to match Donald Trump.
Yeah.
To even make this random career politician. I just feel like it's not going to work. Now, I'm terrified saying this because I love history, and the Roman Republic transitioning to the Roman Empire is just mm-hmm. full of this kind of chaos. And so I can just see us going in terrible directions. But because I have zero say in how we go in this direction, I'm just kind of like in this, well, what if we did just put up the highest profile actor we could come up with right now and then just said, let's just see what happens. You know,
you
I feel like that's
that-
a...
You don't think that someone deep in—I mean, we can just use the term deep state, like just career politician, so like a Mitt Romney. You don't think someone like that could rally?
But no,
the
it would take
and defeat.
Like if Obama came back right now, I think he'd have it.
Yeah,
I think he could do it
because
the nostalgia factor, and also just like who he is. You could argue about policies all you want, but I think a lot of like moderates would just be like, yeah, I can trust this guy over the chaos of Trump. But anybody else right now, I just feel like you don't have a built up enough trust. Reputation to be able to do that.
No, yeah.
And so that's
years.
Why I feel like let's just go, you know, Derek Jeter and see what happens.
Oh my.
You know? See if he can hit a home run into the White House.
Logan
like
Paul.
Let's just see. No, Logan Paul's too chaotic. He's like Trump, but worse somehow.
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast would have a shot.
Mr. Beast has a higher shot than Logan, for sure.
Because Mr. Beast would start like the Roman era gladiatorial games, but YouTube videos giving away money.
Yeah.
Like it would be the way that you distract the population from the chaos that's actually happening in the world. And we're just like, we're going to next up mm-hmm. in the congressional house, like in the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. whoever leaves the room first before voting on legislation doesn't get a chance at $1 million. Like
he'd
it's like, you can do stuff like that.
Make it so somehow there's a one-on-one gladiator battle between AOC and Bernie somehow.
But it's like Nerf guns. It's like, it's fun. It's not bloodshed. Like, that's why I think he'd have a shot. You
that's
know?
Actually true, because he's not... Actually, I was talking with my brother earlier, and he was like, well, what about Whitmer from Michigan, who they were going to assassinate? Remember?
Yeah.
Like,
Let's just go with both. No, kidnap. They were going to kidnap her.
You're going to kidnap her. She could spin that.
Just be like, yeah, perfect. But there's like a whole conservative thing that's like, that was an FBI conspiracy to, you know, like incite people to do that. And so
I'm not deep enough to know that.
It feels like both parties cannot speak the same language to save America's life.
Oh yeah. Like, no way.
And that's one thing I will say about Biden. He could do that to a certain degree. Like, I know conservatives hate a lot of what he did,
but to
some degree, he was the only one coming along saying, we are Americans and we can unite around something. The thing that I dislike the most about Trump is that Trump will say, we're divided. That side is the worst thing that could possibly
exist. They're
the enemy
over there. Yeah.
Literally saying they're the enemy. And that's the thing I really dislike about him, even if policy-wise, some of the stuff that he did last presidency, I'm like, yeah, that wasn't bad. The media made everything he did bad. But I just can't stand his actual divisive attitude towards the people that he's supposed to be like serving on the fire as a whole.
Yeah, he couldn't stop talking. Like he has a hard time with that. Yeah.
But the thing is like I feel like what I prefer in my like sort of middling area is I want somebody who's actually going to come around and say, like, we can actually unite as a nation. If we don't have that, we will divide. It's sort of like entropy. You're gonna get farther apart if there's not somebody saying, let's try and do this together. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the winning strategy for Trump is just to say, let's paint the entire system on one side as bad, and then that will get us the win. But what I'm terrified about with him is the long-term implications of this strategy after him.
Oh,
like, I think
absolutely. We
can survive another 4 years of Trump. I'm terrified about the people that will come after him, who then employ more increasingly aggressive, even more than him, strategies or rhetoric.
You don't think it's going to cool down after Trump? You don't like who has the charisma of Trump in the Republican Party?
But I don't think it's about like the next election. I think it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now. If you change some economic, like if we hit another recession. Uh-oh, now we're hitting like, you know what, it was the other party. And then it used to be to some degree that we could talk about the other party and say, I disagree with their methodology or their idea how to fix this, but at least have respect for the person. It wasn't like perfect.
A little tenuous.
There was at least a facade of that. There's no facade of that anymore. And that's a little bit terrifying. And then also as a Christian, I'm just like, the thing I can't stand about what the Republican Party is doing right now is that they are utilizing the rhetoric of Jesus and Jesus blessing the right.
They're co-opting Christianity. Like it's a full-blown co-opting, and it's
which is a bit terrifying.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just can't get behind it.
Like on a serious note, I've never felt more Adventist than right now, and it's a little weird because I feel like I'm getting into my Adventist conspiracy pocket because it feels a little, it feels a little, you know, like all it would take, like you've probably seen like Vance, like Trump's VPs, like some of
Vance Refrigeration.
Yeah. That guy, like this guy, Vance is wild. Like he's full blown, like theocracy, like energy. He's like death penalty for abortion and divorce. Like he's a wild guy. And I feel like all it would take is,
let's see, that would include you. So
yeah, it would.
I'm trying to think if I get behind it.
Anthony, you had an abortion? You didn't tell me.
Yes, Sean.
Sean, do you remember when our friend got divorced? That's what I was referencing.
Yeah, Jesse was being kind with his comment. But also to say, all it would take is for someone else who doesn't miss to try it again with Trump, and then for Vance to come into office. Then we have all three branches that are all red, and easily, I could see the country going into like full blown Christian nationalism.
But that's the wild thing about right now is that the right has been accused of violence. Both sides have been, but like the right has tended to be like, oh, they're the extreme. But what's wild is that like it was someone who tried to assassinate Donald Trump that actually happened.
And yeah.
What I think is crazy is that, I don't know, let's go back into history.
The more we find out, the more we know he really had no motive.
Well, but and then that's where everybody goes in the conspiracy around like, was he a CIA plant? I guess my point being is that like towards the end of the Roman Republic, and I bring this up not to flex like nerd stuff, but just like towards the end of it, Sean, let me front like I don't get immense satisfaction from this. Towards the end of the Roman Republic, like there was violence literally in the streets of Rome. And then it was actually in sort of like, I'll bring order back to all of this, that then you had people who you know, they asserted their power as like an individual, like Caesar, or even before him, there's a few other guys. And it's like, this is the sketchy place we're getting as a country, where it's like political mm-hmm. violence is becoming more okay because the state is being ramped up to 1,000 by both parties. So it's like, if Trump gets elected, it's going to be the end of America.
Is it both parties though? I don't know that Democrats ramp up the gasoline on the violent language as much as Republicans do. And when I say Republicans, I mean Trump, really. Like,
Sean, what do you say to that? Because can you please put Anthony back in his place?
You just don't see Biden and Kamala out there like, it's them over there. We need a fight. Like, they're coming for us, demonizing the other side. This is Trump energy. It's what he does.
No, they both have quotes. I think Trump is more assertive and aggressive in his way of belittling others, like his catchphrases. Like, we hold on to his tweets, you know, or saying like "Crooked Hillary" or "Sleepy Joe," or whatever. Like, and
Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren,
annoyingly effective.
You know, calling the coronavirus the Kung Flu, and just like
like, he's hilarious. You can't deny that he's hilarious.
He's a business master. Showman. And I get it. I agree on that level as a singular entity within a party. Yes.
Right.
But not as a system. I think both systems have fanned the flames. I don't know what I was trying to say there. Creating this atmosphere, this dynamic within
America. It's literally said by the left, like, we have to save democracy. Like, that's what I mean. It's less so like mm-hmm. They're not doing what Trump is doing, but they are pointing at Trump and saying he's the enemy of democracy without saying it in a vicious way. And I get why people are doing it. It's what the media did the whole time that Trump was in office last term. But the problem is that that's where you get the stakes ramped up, because then people are willing to do crazy things because you're trying to save something. Potentially you're trying to keep the end of America from happening. Like, that's where the rhetoric gets advanced on that side, and they're feeding into the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
When you do more chaotic things, and the right can go, well, look at what they're doing. We got to, you know, and then it becomes a cycle of escalation that both parties are totally guilty of. And so what
you said a second ago, like, the longing for someone to rise above the cycle and say, hey, can we unify? Can we come together? I don't know if Kamala is the one to do that.
As a follower of Jesus, and because we have a podcast that's Christian, that's exactly where Jesus comes in. Because
you're
don't
right.
We all want someone to rise above all of the chaos
now you're
of
preaching.
Our political system. I was about to go.
Jesse,
for.
I'm still waiting. Stephen,
no, you can. I was with you. I want to follow.
I'm still waiting for you to explain why we're doing this on the podcast. We have to make this Adventist somehow. Give me an Ellen White quote on politics.
I'll say this. Actually,
I will say that I've actually said this to people. Adventism is a weird space because, and we talked about this with Danny Shelton. I was actually kind of surprised at some of the stuff he said. But like, Adventism is a weird space where we can be a little bit more insulated from like what I think evangelical America is doing with Trump right now, where he's almost becoming a savior figure.
Or we
because
should
a
be.
Lot of Adventists will look at that and be like, that's where Sunday laws come in. And it's like, I don't necessarily see it going the same way, but I appreciate the insulation from like savior figures. And I'm not saying that Adventism is immune from that.
But it has a system of checks and balances for being too politically righteous on either side. Like, it kind of makes
you that the most governmental sounding.
Yeah, I know. It was a tie-in to what America's supposed to be when it comes to power.
I respect it and I hate it at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
No, yeah, you're right. It actually should be the separation of church.
I mean,
but
core Adventist ethos is to, I mean, Adventism stands outside of evangelical Christianity for that reason. Like, our deepest theology pushes back against like all of Christian history. So it makes
but
sense.
It's funny,
which is
because we've met the reddest Republican Adventists.
Oh yeah.
We've also met a blue dog Democrat, you know, style.
Oh, what?
You've never,
heard
of
that phrase.
Is it blue dog, yellow dog? There's like a term. Sorry. It's like an
I
old
like
school term of like a Democrat. Like that's,
I'll receive that from you.
Moving on. Like there's Adventists that are actually very like committed to one, like they're pretty proud of their identity within a certain political, and still like adhere to being Adventist and speak how Adventism leans toward one or the other, know, like the push towards social justice and how we were on the cutting edge in our early church history of supporting the end of slavery and racism and the like. And then you've got the other side that, you know, sounds more of like the evangelical flavor of anti-abortion, you know, like pro-life and you know, avoiding secular things and creating a, you know, a very religious space, you know, those things that kind of get intertwined with conservative Americanism or Christianity.
Or as I call it, American conservative political religion.
Sure.
Yeah.
ACPR.
But it's the same thing on the other side though, too. There's a whole religion on the other side too. And
oh yeah.
I think that's what's actually kind of, it's sort of like how it's when women's ordination was happening, like the whole conversation around that. And there's a bunch of us who were like, we hate the organizational structure of the Adventist Church. It's stupid. It's bloated. There's way too much administrative stuff. And then we found out that the only reason that there was protection for some of the places that had women's ordination going on was unions. I was like, well, dang it. Now I like unions. And it was like, I don't want to like unions. I want to cut out at least one or two levels of Adventist structure. Now I'm thankful for unions. Now I'm like, I'm kind of thankful for Adventist prophecy. it sort of insulates us from saying that person is going to be Jesus, because there's a consistent suspicion of the Antichrist figure showing up. And what's hilarious to me,
There should be a suspicion of government and religious power melding, but often
but I guess my point is that you will see a lot of conservative Adventists who really support Trump, but still have suspicions, and that's different than than the like American Eagle, like Jesus with his arms around Trump, like I'm so sorry, you almost got
Jesus
shot,
with a bandage on his ear.
Yeah, it's like touching his right ear. Like there was, I think someone was saying, In biblical sacrificial system, they would like put the blood on the right ear, and it's like, oh my gosh,
it was wild.
But like, it's not that Adventist people are insulated from that, but it's almost like Adventism as a culture is more insulated from that sort of influence. And so, I mean, that's a blessing, and I think it can go both ways. But right now, I think it's kind of a blessing from that sort of nefarious, insidious melding of political and religious power, which is pretty sketchy. I mean, just even us believing that it's a political and religious figure that is sort of the Antichrist sort of thing, or the mark of the beast, like all of that makes us wary.
It puts us outside a little bit. I'm going to say the most Adventist thing I've ever said in my life, and you guys know that because you've known me from all my adult life. I read The Great Controversy, Chapter 25, this week. And Ellen straight up says that the melding of a religious and political power isn't Catholicism. It's Protestant Christianity.
Does she actually say that explicitly?
Yeah, she pretty much says it. And
what's interesting is because the Catholic Church did that so explicitly throughout... throughout history, the Catholic Church... did that consistently and overtly. It was like, you know, you had popes who were obviously not religiously affiliated. They were people who got elected that position for money, bribes, for the power of that position. And what's wild is that the Catholic Church today, not that it's not doing that to some degree, but like it is not the main thing doing that. Like in America, it is Protestant Christianity that is asking for a melding of those two things. And I get why, because there's this whole narrative that America is turning away from Christian values.
Yeah.
And what's wild is the solution, while everyone's terrified of Sharia law back in like in the early 2000s, it's like the solution is just Levitical biblical law. And you're like, I don't know if that's better. So it's pretty wild. I'm not surprised she said that.
It's a wild time.
Some quick hot takes. Okay. We're going to end this because Jesse, you said 10 minutes and we're at 30 minutes.
We're at 30. Yeah.
Sean, that's how I got you here.
No, we're an Adventist podcast. So we're going to We're going to go.
We had hot takes.
No, we had great controversy quote, but now we're going to do predictions. We're going to come back to this. We're going to make Eric edit this quick so it goes out. And because if this is like released in November, what's the point of predicting what's going to happen? Right. So predictions, okay? First off, before predictions, hot takes. Jesse, does the Bible prophesy that the United States is a part of end time events? Like we talk about.
Nice. Yes.
You think so? Like the United States is actually a part of it?
Well, I mean, like there's obviously a sort of like that lamb-like figure and stuff like that. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, especially because I tend to think that most prophecy is pointing at
cycles.
I think I'm a little bit more like most of biblical prophecy is pointing at Israel, not the whole world. And when you look at the United States relationship to Israel and what it has done to support it and how there is a interesting relationship where I'm like, I fully support there being a space for Jewish people, but how the Israel that exists now is very, it's paralleling the prophetic trajectory of like the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, who says, you have all you have the appearance of people who are pious, but you are not taking care of the poor and the widows and the orphans. Ooh, and it's like so I guess like that's kind of the thing that I tend to look at. I'm like, this feels like it's a repetition of what has come before. And so, you know, America being part of that is not at all outside of that for me. So
is the Sunday law going to happen? As stated by Ellen White.
I don't know. I doubt it. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen exactly like that. Though I could see, you know, I can see space for it. But I'm not set on a specific outcome there. I do think that it will come down to, like, is your heart going to go be loyal with God? Or is it going to be loyal to the way of the world? Whatever that ends up being, I think it could be multiple things.
Wait a minute. Are we doing these predictions so that when whatever happens and we're in prison together, we're going to think back?
Yeah, these aren't like election related questions. These are like if we get to heaven and we look back and we listen to this episode of Seeking Where They Sought and we're like, oh, Sean was right.
I said before predictions, I wanted hot takes. These were hot takes before the predictions.
You're right.
I have predictions after this. Anthony, is there going to be a Sunday law?
Why that sound effect? Is there going to be one? I think that for most of my adult life, I would have unequivocally said probably not. I think the last 5 to 10 years have made me see a possibility where it could happen. And I think the last month has convinced me even more how easily it could happen. That's what I think.
Interesting. My man. Okay, predictions.
A final caveat. I think if all three branches of government are red, I think it happens easily. I think it happens absolutely easily.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think if all three branches of government are blue, I think we're all just very sad.
I don't disagree. I don't know that it's better.
No, because blue, like blue is set.
But we'll all have electric vehicles by 2035.
Oh, bless.
I'm thinking about getting a Tesla. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you got that truck, right, Jesse? You got the truck?
The Cybertruck?
No, he got a truck.
No, I got, my mom was like, you know, here, I we didn't can know use that. Our truck. No, she's like, you can use a truck, but I'm like, I kind of want to get a Tesla. So we'll see. We'll see if I become a flaming liberal. I think that's what happens if you get a Tesla, right?
Really quick, predictions for president. If it's going to be Trump, Harris, or the Democratic Party, or tell me why it's going to be RFK, 100%. Unanimous vote.
Okay. Anthony.
Predictions? Oh, my word. This is really on the spot. I don't know. I think... I think if it's Kamala, I don't think she can beat Trump.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Sean, what's your prediction?
I don't think there's any way Trump loses. I'm going all in on Trump winning in November.
Wow.
I don't think there's any path.
I still think the right person can beat him. I still think the right person can beat him.
I'm happy to eat my words. I'm just telling you, I don't see a path. I'm not saying I think he's the best for the country. I'm saying I don't see any path after what happened to him, combined with Biden, combined with the lack of trust in the Democratic Party right now, to right that ship in 4 months. And it happened, by the way, it's not just 4 months. It has to happen like because by the convention.
Here's the thing, Sean. Biden lost pretty much the entire Gen Z and most younger millennial votes, right? With like everything going on in Israel, pretty much. We could kind of anecdotally say that. But someone with policies maybe more in line with many younger people could sweep the entire Gen Z and millennial vote.
But they have to have charisma and a backing of recognition, face recognition. You can't create that. Right. You can't create that in 4 months. There's no way unless they're
face recognition is how they end up gaining control over all of us, and they end up like enslaving all of us to the AI tech that's coming. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't know about face recognition on that.
If Blue wins, then we'll all be robots by 2050.
If Red wins, then we're going to all be, or all of our wives will end up being trad wives.
The best they could do, Anthony, is to come up with a legitimately good, maybe younger candidate that puts in a good fight this November that could build up some goodwill for the next election cycle. I go back and forth on if that would hurt their chances to lose to Donald Trump.
I don't know.
It might be worth holding the cards close if you have a truly good candidate for next time and to build them up 2 years prior. But there could be something about like put someone there to build up some goodwill and say, hey, they actually did well. They have a hope for that for next time. But I don't know, because if they're I don't know if there's any precedent for a finalist, you know what I mean by the final nominee that loses, that actually ever in US history comes back and wins the presidency, except for now Donald Trump, right? He's coming back after losing the main election and trying again, and will probably win. But I don't know if that would actually hurt the Democratic Party. But I personally think I could eat my words in a month from now.
Yeah. We're you don't recording think anyone this. Can beat him.
We're recording this in late July. I just don't. I don't see a path forward for the party, the Democratic Party, this election cycle.
If it was Biden, I would have agreed with you. I don't think there was any situation where Biden could have beat him. But I think with the
Harris
right person.
Look, Biden just endorsed Harris. It's going to hurt if it's not Harris by the convention. There's like, they have to figure out someone that can beat the guy that is currently president just endorsed. Like what a hot mess that would make for the party. Who do you trust? It splits the base. There's no way they can unite in that amount of time.
I don't know if she could do this, but if she stood up in a debate and said, I will end support for the war in Israel, I think she wins.
I don't think so. I think that
it's split. It split the other side.
No, but I think
half of Republicans would vote for it.
No, but that's where you get the religious side of it. Like the support for Israel is a major aspect of the evangelical support for Trump.
But I'm talking about like moderate non-Christian Republicans.
I still don't think you get that.
You don't think so?
No.
But the motivation for Trump to protect Israel is mostly religious.
Trump already wants to put pressure on all these, like he wants to put pressure on Ukraine and all this other stuff. Like I think he just got way too much going for him on that.
And now he's got the sympathy card. He's got the sympathy card after being shot.
Yeah.
My prediction is that Trump wins. And then my second prediction is that ultimately there's a nuclear war. And
from who? Who launches first?
I honestly think that SpaceX. The nuclear war was that?
SpaceX launches. They've got a secret silo.
I think what's going to happen ultimately is that you're going to get all the billionaires who have power in the world, and they're going to gain a whole following from all these different people, and the war won't be between nations. It will be between Elon Musk and
everyone
his
else.
Electric vehicles and like the oil, the oil companies. And I think then long-term Trump tries to step into it, but he's too old. So it's going to have to be somebody else long-term. I think after the nuclear war, we emerge.
There is no after. We're dead.
There's a certain subset of people that emerge from underground bunkers, and then that's what Fallout 76. You know, like that whole thing. I think then we end up living out the Fallout timeline.
Fallout 76. So we become a mediocre video game. That's the timeline we're in.
I think there's a whole group of people that want to start a nuclear war against you now.
True. I'm not one of them.
I feel like Fallout 76 was pretty universally panned, but
it was one of the worst ones for sure.
But this just became a gaming conversation.
My point being is that my real prediction is I think Trump wins this one. And I think that we're already in the midst of a conservative swing back on a lot of stuff. And it will be interesting to see how long that lasts. But I think we might hit a conservative swing back for you know, the next decade-ish, and then we'll swing back the other direction.
Ooh.
But I don't know. Honestly, I guess I agree with you guys. I don't know if I see anybody actually being able to challenge Donald Trump.
Yeah. But
yeah. I mean, except for, like, if we could get Morgan Freeman.
Vice President Christian Bale.
He might be able to do it.
I just feel like Morgan Freeman the is voice everybody's alone. President. I think...
Yeah.
I think he's already everybody's president in our hearts.
But he's already played God, so that creates the whole problem of politics and religion.
It does.
I was all for that. Are you right? It's a problem.
I have, on a serious
Steve
note,
Carell's out too. No, who else played? No, that was Evan Almighty. He played Noah. Never mind.
I've been having many conversations with my senior pastor about we debate all the time, Evan's theology and I don't think he'd mind me saying this. He's going to listen to this. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. He debates.
I think he's not going to have a job in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's going to fire me. No. Michael, love you, man. Him and I often debate about the imminence of Jesus's return and the imminence of Adventist eschatology. And
save this for its own episode, Anthony. That needs to be its own episode there.
We can talk about it again, but
you said this. The exact words to me that you want to preach a sermon that says that the title of which is Jesus isn't coming back soon.
Well, probably. Jesus is probably not coming back soon. Is the title.
You wanted the shock value. You wanted the shock value on it.
You believe I did, but I wanted it. Since going to seminary, I changed it to probably. But I will say, in the past 6 months or so, in our conversations, I have been more convinced about an imminent eschatology. And I think the current state of American politics makes me even more convinced.
Anthony, that's the most like American-centric nonsense that I've ever heard in my entire life.
I think if you read Revelation...
You are Canadian, and you are saying to us right now that the United States is more important than Canada. If you're not a traitor to your own country.
You know what? You're right. That is a cardinal Canadian sin. I'm just saying that it's so clear, at least to me, that the United States is the land beast of Revelation. And I think we're headed down the road.
Buckle up.
Yeah. And then we've been headed down the road for the last 2,000 years. Okay.
I think we're headed down the road.
Hey, if it happens, stay locked here thinking what they saw. We're going to have a live stream during the end times.
We're going to live stream Armageddon.
Remember the 2012? Remember the 2012, the guy who's like crazy? He's kind of crazy and weird, but he's got like a radio station out of his like really beat up RV. And
okay, yeah.
He's like the guy who was like, everyone thought he was crazy, but he ended up being right. That's going to be us. There's going to be three of us running out of an old beat up RV, just like saying things that sound like conspiracy theories, but we're going to be, we'll be at that point. This is why I said we needed to talk about this ultimately, is because if we're going to be the voice in the end, then we have to take our position now.
You're right.
So you heard it here first. You heard it here first. I don't know what you heard exactly here first, but you heard it here first.
Heard a lot of things here first.
And then after the Trump election, alien invasion. That's my next. But they're going to be friendly.
It'd be the most wild thing on the planet that ever happened.
All right,
aliens
Jesse.
Show up. Actually, aliens show up and they're friends.
Hostile aliens would be one of the few things that
could unite the world.
No, I think it would cause me to probably like deeply question my faith, like a hostile alien invasion. If they were friendly, I'd be like fine. But if they're
this just became Joe Rogan. Like at some point, we're just gonna be doing pot on seeking what they saw.
If we're being turned into alien burgers and we're on a spaceship and we're like out towards Antares, the star. I'm like, I guess we were wrong, because Sean's already dead. He's already a burger. I guess we were wrong. I mean, either that or we got something wrong. Maybe that's a good place to end.
Thanks, everyone. Support us on Patreon for more high quality content.
As you can tell, we're